Act 2, Designing Your Dream. Chapter 5, 360-degree Business Design. There are three responses to a piece of design. Yes, no, and wow. Wow is the one to aim for. Milton Glaser. One of the things that sets me apart as a business advisor is my depth and breadth of experience across multiple business disciplines. I began my work career in high school as a secretary. Like many Fusion creatives, I found myself moving from job to job every few years as I gained skills. In my 40-plus years on the planet, I found myself in all these jobs and industries. Legal secretary, office admin, customer service, hospitality, home improvement, property maintenance, graphic designer, real estate sales, financial advisor and insurance sales, manufacturing, mail order and direct sales, retail sales and wholesale distribution, food service, internet marketing, business coach, music instructor, musician, actor, speaker, performing artist, author, songwriter, screenwriter, film scoring, music composition, arranger, marketing director, and more. I've seen the view from the bottom of the corporate ladder firsthand. I've been an underling, a middle manager, and the CEO. I've been interviewed, hired, and fired, as well as doing the interviewing, hiring, and firing myself. I've invested in companies that made money and lost it. I've made and sold tangible and virtual goods and services. I'm no stranger to hard work, and I know the value of the gatekeeper because I've been one myself. All this experience, which looks crappy on a resume, is exactly the blend of knowledge I needed to be able to serve my best clients. Most creatives come to me with a deep understanding of their specific field and little knowledge of how to parlay their genius into a profitable, sustainable business. This breadth and depth of experience gives me a unique advantage in helping my clients see the bigger picture of how their great work can serve the world, often in ways they can't even imagine yet. Another element that's often overlooked by most business advisors is the personal element. A business requires people to run it, and for most creative entrepreneurs, your business is an extension of who you are. Whether you're a company with hundreds of employees or you're a brand new startup, you often identify yourself through your great work. This is a different approach than most corporations take because the corporation is an entity unto itself. For a creative entrepreneur, the business is a part of them. It stands to reason then that the health and well-being of the company owner, that's you, is an important consideration in the health and well-being of the company. That's why I developed a 360-degree business design approach. It takes into account the personal and professional demands of a creative entrepreneur that wants to make good money and have a life. 360-degree business design is built on four pillars. 1, context. 2, your creative entrepreneur type. 3, growth stage. 4, business model. The first two pillars deal with you, the business owner, while the last two pillars are specific to the business you're growing. They are actually mirror images of one another and taken together create a solid foundation for scaling your business to whatever size you desire. Each of these pillars has a dedicated chapter, but let's get an overview here and now to see how these pieces mirror each other. Context. This is about understanding what's going on in your personal world that defines the constraints in which you can operate your business. One of my clients was mother to a growing teenager when we met, and her desire to be a motivational speaker was just ramping up when her husband's terminal illness kicked into high gear. Her energy had to be focused on her family, and rightfully so. When she looked at what really mattered to her, a happy family was her number one goal. She couldn't very well travel to speak, and her small town didn't afford her many speaking opportunities either. She eventually made the decision to go back to the workforce and scale back her business until her family had more stability. Running a business takes a lot of energy. Building a business takes even more. The more you have to split your focus, the longer it can take to see success. You can't ignore those encumbrances and pretend they don't exist. They do, and they're an important part of the bigger picture of your world. A colleague of mine takes every summer off to be with her children once they're out of school. No work, just family time. That's a serious consideration she has to make in the way she runs and builds her business. Will she shut everything down, or does she entrust the entire business to a partner to run while she's away? What's the decision that will best serve her and her company? riding the snail. Another client of mine wanted to transition from her day job, but while she was still employed full-time, that left little time for her to do the work of her business. When we started working together, she made it clear that she had 5 hours per week at most to build her business. Anything above that was frosting. I told her that with only 5 hours a week to give, it would be very slow going at first, but she was okay with that. We joked about how other entrepreneurs might be riding a rocket while she was riding the snail. But Confucius said that it doesn't matter how slow we go, so long as we don't stop. So we just kept riding the snail. She had to laser in on high-value tasks and drop a lot of other nice-to-haves that simply didn't fit her time constraints. We also had to create a business model that paid her a living wage on only 5 hours of weekly work. Eventually, we tripled her hourly rate, which meant attracting an entirely different kind of client, one that paid her well for each hour she was investing in her business. This is why context is so important. In a corporate environment, if you can't work a 40-hour week, you're replaced. That's not the reality of a creative entrepreneur. Creative entrepreneur type. I know we're already 5 chapters in and we're only just now getting to this. The creative freedom entrepreneur type spectrum was born out of my own business frustrations. I began the slow rebuilding process after my business tanked, but it was more frustrating than profitable. After decades of work, I had no clarity about whom I was meant to serve. It seems laughable in hindsight, but in 2013, I couldn't figure out my target market to save my skin. My sorting hat experiment. If you read Harry Potter, you might remember the sorting hat. It was a tattered, magical talking hat that sorted each student at Hogwarts into their house, their home away from home while at school. This magical hat had the final say in which students were assigned to which house. With an audience too wide to serve effectively and no easily recognizable demographics to use, I started my own sorting hat experiment to get more clarity about my audience. Was there a particular house to which each of my clients belonged? Could I find a pattern that would help me see my target market? I started looking at the specific reasons clients hired me. One client hired me to be his marketing director. Another wanted me to develop an online coaching platform. Another still wanted me to be her business manager while she handled the creative side of the business. I wrote each request, either the initial reason someone came to me or one of the individual tasks that eventually became part of a project, on a piece of paper. Then I began the monumental task of sorting the papers into piles that had a common theme: systems and processes, life skills, marketing support, research, etc. Then I went further by considering what my clients and I ultimately ended up working on together. My marketing client, for example, didn't have a marketing problem so much as a systems and communications problem. The client's lack of systems meant that he was the bottleneck in the business. I made a few suggestions, and in less than 3 months, he went from losing $5,000 to $10,000 per month to clearing $2,000 to $3,000 or more in monthly profit. Again, every suggestion and task went onto a piece of paper. I sorted by client and by task, looking for commonalities. At first, I couldn't see a thing and just kept shoveling papers around. My kid thought it was some kind of crazy craft project. Then I zoomed out a bit and found some common themes. 70 piles became 30. Then 20. After several months of sorting, two camps finally emerged. I called them chaotic and linear clients. Inside each of these camps was a wide variety of client types and demographics, but with only a few exceptions, my clients seemed to fit in these two groups. Not as quick and easy as the sorting hat, but the process was working for the most part. Except for one problem. The non-compliant clients, those who didn't fit into either camp, were my favorites, and that really bugged me. I wanted to clone my clients to fill my business, so if they didn't fit my sorting model, why bother? Plus, I felt like I didn't fit my own sorting model either. Talk about frustrating. We weren't just square pegs, though. With some patience, another pattern emerged, a third type of client that was stuck firmly in the middle between the two extremes. I called them fusion types. Once everyone was sorted, I was able to find one unifying theme amongst all my clients. They were all what I call creative entrepreneurs. The creative freedom spectrum is born. These camps weren't really camps at all, but more of a spectrum. At one end is the process-loving linear creative. At the other end is the go-with-the-flow chaotic creative, and running down the middle is the fusion creative. Each creative entrepreneur is a blend of linear and chaotic traits, and most people tend to favor one type over the other. Fusions favor neither or both equally, depending on the day. Why does it matter? As a creative entrepreneur, you're building a business around doing what you love. There may be times when you wear many hats, but knowing your creative freedom type allows you to see the natural blind spots of your type that cause you to wear the wrong hats for too long. When you're clear on not only what you're good at, but also what energizes you, it becomes easier to find and implement support systems for the things that aren't in your wheelhouse. That way, you can do your great work with confidence and build a profitable, sustainable business that you love without selling your soul. The creative freedom spectrum identifies your preference, not your proficiency. Like I said earlier, you can be really good at something and hate doing it. Sometimes you expect that you have to, or quote unquote, should be doing it because you're a business owner, but that's a faulty assumption. In fact, several chaotic creatives I met are incredibly good at linear functions, but those tasks drain their energy and leave them feeling depleted at the end of the day. Likewise, a focus on more chaotic functions, while important in the growth of a business, can drive a linear to the brink of insanity. When each type focuses on what's best for them and delegates the other tasks and responsibilities, the result is more time, energy, and money for what matters most. Growth stage. According to Les McKeown, author of the book Predictable Success, Getting Your Organization on the Growth Track and Keeping It There, the business life cycle has four stages of growth: early struggle, fun, whitewater, predictable success. Every business must go through each stage in order. There is no skipping a step. And you'll notice that two of those stages don't sound very pleasant. That's because they're not. Early struggle is where everyone starts. The singular goal of this stage is to find a profitable, sustainable market for your offer. Everything else is secondary, including pretty packaging, fancy letterhead, or expensive web design. The only thing that matters in this stage of business is getting out of this stage of business as quickly as possible. Still, for most companies, that can be anywhere from 3 to 5 years. The sooner you find a market that can pay you what you need to be sustainable, the sooner you are out of early struggle and into fun. Fun is where things get, well, fun. The business is financially healthy and growing at a faster pace. Everything is looking up. It's also the time when the business starts to get more complex and a need for systems and processes appears. In the beginning of a business, everything is usually handled on the fly in a one-off kind of approach. You simply haven't faced a situation often enough to need a policy for dealing with it. But as the business becomes more complex, a failure to implement the right balance of systems and structures will bring you into whitewater. Whitewater can be as rough as it sounds. Things start falling through the cracks. Lots of apologies are being made to clients and customers for things that didn't get done on time or within budget. Balls get dropped. Orders and emails get missed, and profit margins start to slip as growth plateaus. I've personally known businesses who bump around in whitewater for years because they refuse to implement and enforce the necessary boundaries, systems, and processes to keep the business healthy. If you can strike that balance, though, you can move back into fun or scale up into predictable success. Predictable success is the final stage of growth that theoretically can last indefinitely. It's the stage designed for companies that want to scale their growth. Most creative entrepreneurs aren't looking to become a multinational conglomerate, so we won't spend a lot of time here. Instead, our focus will be on fun, the stage of growth suitable for most lifestyle-oriented creative entrepreneurs. Knowing what stage of business growth you're in is understanding the context of your business. You have a clear awareness about what matters most to the health and well-being of the business, just like knowing your personal context gives you a clear insight to your personal health and well-being. Business model. This is how your business makes a profit. Mike McCallowood says that profit is the lifeblood of the business. Without it, your business is dying. There are any number of ways a business can make revenue. One of my clients is a dancer who gets paid to dance, but also gets paid to teach dance. That's her business model, one-to-one and performance-based pay. That's also an incredibly time-consuming approach to income generation. If she's not teaching a class or dancing, she's not making money. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's important to know how much of you is involved in making the actual revenue of the company. On the other hand, the owner of the studio where she teaches has scaled her revenue in such a way that she doesn't need to be the one teaching all the classes in order to make an income. There are many business owners who simply manage the day-to-day activities of the company without actually doing the physical work. If your art relies on you, however, you have to look for other ways to scale your reach. Singers know this issue well. In 2015, Katy Perry was number 3 on Forbes' celebrities list, a list that ranks the highest income-earning celebrities each year. Her Prismatic World Tour contributed heavily to her total $135 million in pre-tax earnings that year. A good portion of that wasn't ticket sales. It was merchandise, at roughly $20 per head, 4 times the industry average. But you can't tour all the time. It's just not physically possible. So then what? The 2017 Forbes rankings show that Katy Perry didn't tour at all, but still made $33 million from endorsement deals and a contract to appear on the American Idol reboot, which could bring in multiple millions of dollars over the next few years. That's how you scale when your great work relies on you to bring it to life. Or you follow the model of fine artist Dale Chihuly, who has a studio of artists who work with him to create his masterpieces. Dale's name's on the art, but his team helps him create it. You need all 4 pillars to succeed. When each of these 4 pillars is in place, you have a strong foundation for the health and well-being of your business, as well as yourself. If one starts to go off the rails or needs tweaking, you've still got 3 other pillars to support you. Think of it like a chair. You can sit in a 3-legged chair and still maintain some stability with a bit of effort. But if you lose 1 leg in a 3-legged stool, balance goes out the window and you'll probably fall flat on your ass. It's like Jim Rohn said, happiness is not something you postpone for the future, it's something you design for the present. Using 360-degree business design, you'll design a plan for your own happiness right now. Your assignment. Take the Creative Freedom Quiz at lisarobinyoung.com/quiz to learn your Creative Freedom Entrepreneur type. You'll need to know it for the upcoming chapters. Celebrate. Get used to celebrating your progress. I'm a party animal like that.